Bibles with us this morning into Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I want to preach to you this morning on prayer. On prayer. And I tell you what, there's a lot to be preached on about prayer, but just some thoughts that God has given me here. And I tell you, we start every year and we make all kinds of resolutions, and we find out that we fail in fulfilling our resolutions, and many times we fail because we seek to ask God's intervention. We seek to ask God's direction. We seek to ask God's presence and seek to ask God's strength and his help to get us through the things that we've made resolutions on. If you found Mark chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. See, the devil don't want you to pray, for one thing. Amen? The devil don't want you to pray. So you pray for me this morning that God just keep my heart and my mind in focus. As we stand this morning, Matthew chapter 6, if you found and are able, stand in reverence and honor the reading of God's word. In verse number 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that there may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Folks sometimes think prayer is some kind of a mystical thing, but prayer is just a pleading. To beseech someone to do something, to plead and to ask and to make a request, to make your needs known in an earnest manner. We read many times in the Old Testament as we see the theophanies of God, God's angel, the angel of the Lord appearing as he appeared unto Abraham. And Abraham would speak to him directly, and I pray thee, I beseech thee, is what he's saying. I'm begging of you. I'm asking you, because this means something to me. We see throughout the Bible different times where the word prayer is used, and the word pray is used just in a pleading manner. Sometimes it's not even used as people are talking to God, but men are dealing with one another. It's an earnest desire, an earnest pleading, an earnest wanting the individual to whom you are speaking to hear and to follow through with what you're asking. As a matter of fact, the first place in the Bible that I have found where someone actually prayed to God and wasn't in his presence standing directly in front of him, but was praying to him in faith, was praying to him because he wasn't there, was Abraham's servant, Eliezer. When he went to seek Rebecca, he went to seek a wife, and he stopped outside of the city, and he said, "I pray thee, God." He began to pray and began to ask for God's direction. He asked for God's favor. He asked for God's leadership. He asked for God's direction. And you know what? God answered his prayer. It was an earnest desire. It was an earnest pleading. We read in the Bible of many great and long and wordy prayers. We see the prayer of Solomon when the temple was dedicated. We see the prayer of Hezekiah when he was attacked, and how he just besought God, and he was beseeching God to meet the need that they had. We see the prayer of our Lord as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as he prayed with such earnestness and he prayed with such fervor, the Bible says that his sweat became as great drops of blood. We see that as men throughout the Word of God have prayed, that God has heard prayers and God has answered prayers. But we see there are times in the Word of God when men have prayed, and they have prayed in their own vanity. They have prayed for their own foolishness. Matter of fact, James says, "You have not because you ask not, and you ask that you might consume it upon your own lust." We don't ask for things because they're needful. We don't ask for things because we really want God's intervention in our lives. We just want things because we want to satisfy our own flesh. And we pray so vainly, because we should seek for God's will. And as Jesus is teaching, and as Jesus is instructing here, he's giving his disciples, those that are following and those that are listening, some keys to getting through in prayer, some keys to effective prayer, the essence of what it is in getting God's attention when we call upon his name in prayer. He says, "When thou pray," first there's an assumption that we are praying. And I trust this morning that you're praying. I pray and trust this morning that you have a fervent prayer life, that you have an active prayer life, that you realize the value in prayer in any time, in any place. I find myself sometimes struggling to formally pray like I like to do, but I also realize that throughout the day, many times I talk to God and I seek God's face. I seek God's direction. I seek God's will. He says, "Pray without ceasing." And it's not impossible. In every situation, you can pray. I mean that you have to get out and get some a long and drawn out prayer. But praise God, some of the most effective prayers that have ever been mentioned in the Bible were the shortest prayers. And I think Peter's, when he was sinking in the water after he got his eyes off the Lord, and he cried, "Save me, Lord." And Jesus reached down and saved him. I remember Brother Jimmy Rowland on his many travels and preaching and singing. Said they were exiting on the exit ramp to wherever they were going. And as he started up the ramp, and Brother Jimmy's a truck driver himself, and as they started up the ramp, a tractor trailer came the wrong way down the ramp to them. And he says, "The only thing I could do is say, 'Lord, don't let it hurt.'" Amen. And guess what? It didn't. Prayer doesn't have to be a long and drawn out thing. But prayer is something that needs to be a part in every Christian's life. Not just a formal part, not just a ritualistic part, but it needs to be a real and living part of your daily life. If you go through the day and you ask God for direction, you go through the day, you ask God for inspiration, there's many a times as I was working that I would be in a problem on a machine. We would have issues with a piece of equipment, and God cares about everything that matters to us. Amen. I want you to know that. And God will help you in everything if you allow him. There's many times we had electronics problems and was trying to find the problem. And when you got a machine that's 60, 70, 80 feet long, weighs a couple hundred thousand pounds, and has miles and miles and miles of wires and cables going through it, and you can't see everything, and you can't see where everything's going, sometimes you need a little help. And I found out that some of the greatest help I ever got, I was on the way to work in the morning sometimes when I was having a particular problem, I would pray, "God, just help me find the problem that's in this machine. Point us in the right direction." And you know what? God would help us to find the problem. I believe that. Amen. I know I'm a skilled mechanic. I know I've been trained, and I know I can do all kinds of things. I can do exceedingly and abundantly above what most people can when it comes to fixing things. I've been trained to do that. Amen. But I'm not a miracle worker. But praise God, I know the one that is. Amen. And I'm not afraid to say, Lord, I just can't figure it out. Lord, I can't see it. Lord, it's hiding from me. Lord, will you help me to find this? And guess what? He does. I go through the day and I face situations and I face problems. And I say, God, I'm dealing with something that I don't know how to deal with it. I've got to deal with someone that I'm not sure just exactly how I need to deal with them. I've got to say something and I want to be sure I say it right. God, give me the words. God, prepare the way before me. And you know what? He does. Amen. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe prayer is one of the most misused and most missed out upon blessings that we have in the Word of God, simply because we don't take the time to trust God and call on Him. Amen. If you want to see your life change in 2017 dramatically, change your prayer life dramatically. Amen. And you'll find out that what God does when you call upon Him is amazing. It's heart-stirring. And it's thrilling because you realize that He did what He did simply because He loves you. And simply because He cares about what matters to you. But prayer has to be done in a manner that it honors God in what we do. There has to be a sincerity in the prayer. In verses number 5 and verse number 7, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse number 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Sometimes folks pray. I don't like when I go to a church, and I don't mind praying, but it really bothers me when I go to visit another church and they say, "Brother Gilbert, would you come up front and stand up here behind the pulpit and open the service?" And it's an honor. Amen. It's an honor. But I'm a private person. I like to pray in private. Amen. I pray publicly. I'm not ashamed to pray publicly. But I don't want to be lifted up because I'm praying. Amen. I don't want to be lifted up and put on a pedestal because I'm saying a prayer. I can pray where I'm at. And I understand in bigger churches, it's hard for people to hear you or whatever. People want to hear when you say amen so they want no one to wake up. Amen. And then when the nap's over, amen. How many of you are actually praying when we're praying? How many of you are taking a nap? Man, I get a little bit of shut eye. Amen. Well, the ones that didn't raise their hand, it should be. You can be on the altar here in a little bit. Amen. Some people take advantage of prayer time. Amen. And don't use it in the right way. But the thing of it is prayer is about us talking to God. Prayer needs to be sincere in what we're doing. He said, not to be as the hypocrites. Assuming that you're going to pray, don't pray so that people can see you pray. Assuming that you're going to pray, don't pray so that people can hear you pray. Assuming that you're going to pray, don't make a big issue out of praying. Just pray sincerely from the heart. You see, Israel had a habit. Israel had got into a form and a fashion. As someone told me one time, they were thought that our services should have the Lord's Prayer. We should be using the Lord's Prayer in our services. I said, why? The Lord's Prayer, what you think of the Lord's Prayer, it's not a prayer for us to pray. It's a pattern for us to pray after. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. We can all recite it together. I just read it, one version of it. Amen. But that prayer does you no good. Amen. That prayer is just using words vainly that we might be able to establish. Well, we had the Lord's Prayer. And I believe when I was in school, we said the Lord's Prayer. And I believe the Lord's Prayer had great power and was able to do great things because it taught us how to pray. Amen. And as a child in school, I needed to learn how to pray. Amen. Well, what's wrong with a lot of America today is people don't know how to pray. Amen. They don't know how to get a hold of God. God says, Jesus says here, not to be as the hypocrites that do things vainly. They do things ceremonially and ritually. They do things just to be seen of men, that they can hear their prayers, that they can see them standing and praying and honor them. And Israel had a bad problem with this. In Isaiah 58, he says, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. There's my mandate for preaching. Cry aloud and spare not. Listen to what he said in verse number 2. He says, they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask me ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and that thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice heard on high. You realize what God was saying right there. He said, there's a nation. I'm dealing with a nation. I'm dealing with a people who act like everything is all right and everything is just hunky-dory, and they're praying I need to hear them, like I need to snap up and listen to them, and they're not even praying for the right reasons. They're praying that they might be seen to be praying. Amen? Now, I believe prayer works miracles in a nation. But I realize sometimes when our nation prays, that much of the prayer is vanity. Much of the prayer is for a pretense. Much of the prayer is say, well, look at us. Look at us, we're praying. I'm glad when Vice President Pence took his oath of office the other day, his Bible was opened to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven and answer their prayer and heal their diseases. Amen. He had his Bible open there. He's a man that believes in prayer, and I don't believe he done it as a pretense. I believe he done it because he believed it. Amen. But there's many who'll use prayer and who'll invoke the name of God when it's convenient for them, when it looks good for them, when it makes them feel good, and when it makes everybody swell up around them. And let me tell you, that prayer is vanity. Amen. That prayer is hypocritical. God said, don't pray if you're not going to pray to me, if you don't talk to me all the time. Amen. Don't bother talking to me when you need something. Amen. You're a hypocrite. If you don't have time for me every day, if you don't have time for me throughout the day, why do you want to talk to me at all? You all know those people that you only hear from them when they want something. Amen. You only hear from them when they need something. They only show up when it's give me, give me, give me. They only show up when God to them is nothing but the fairy godmother, as we used this analogy yesterday and we used it today. America has got to the place where they expect God to be a fairy godmother that just grants all their wishes, and everything is happy and everything is sweet and everything wonderful is going to happen to them. God is the creator. Amen. He doesn't serve us, we serve Him. Amen. He doesn't worship us, we worship Him. He doesn't bow down to us. We bow down to Him. And praise God, we lift Him up. And we call upon Him because we know who He is. We call upon Him because we know what He can do. We call upon Him because what we've seen what He's done. Amen. And I tell you what, He's got a record. He's got a record of doing all things well. Prayer is not just a pretense. It's just not for false intent or foolish practice. When we do pray that way as the hypocrites do, it's idolatry. You know who the hypocrite's trying to lift up? Himself. He said he wants to be seen of men. He wants to be heard of men. Why? Because He wants everybody to see him as something special. I tell you what, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, amen, will draw all men unto me. I tell you what, it's our goal in this church, and it's our desire in every ministry that we do to lift Jesus up. He's what's important, amen. It's not the preacher, amen. I tell you what, I'm a pitiful preacher. Praise God, but I preach a powerful word, amen. Jesus is the one that needs to be lifted up. I'm a feeble servant, but praise God, I praise a glorious master, amen. I'm unable to do anything in and of myself, but praise God, I have a Lord that's able to endue me with power from on high and allow me to do whatever it is that he wants me to do. I'm thankful for that. When we pray, our prayer needs to be sincere and not as the hypocrites. Jesus, our Lord, said back in Jeremiah, he said, when you seek me, and you'll find me, when you search for me with all your heart. And he said, and I will be found. There has to be an earnestness in our prayer for our prayer to be sincere. It has to be wholehearted. It can't be just a half-minded or something that goes off in our mind and in our desires. I just need something again. You ever take the time just to thank the Lord for things? And you can go on and on and on. It's not repetitious. It's not praying repetitiously because nobody's listening to you but the Lord. You're just praying for him to hear. But you're praying from the heart. Amen. Praying from the heart. God, thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for the food. God, thank you for my home. God, thank you for the automobile. God, thank you for the junk I had, my equipment. Amen. The things I have that make my life easier. Amen. I thank God for every one of them. Amen. When I can get on the tractor and I got a post hole digger that'll drill a hole and I don't have to stand out there, praise God, I want to thank him for supplying that. Amen. When I got something that I can sit on and do something instead of having to take a shovel, praise God, I don't mind thanking him for supplying that and giving it to me. When I can lay my head down on a pillow with a roof over my head and warmth in my body, praise God, I want to thank him for supplying that. When I can get in a car and ride down the road, and I remember the days when I started working 12 years old at Chantilly Golf Course. We lived in Elkton, and I hitchhiked from Elkton to Chantilly Golf Course every morning and walked home every night hitchhiking, hoping somebody would pick me up. And when I started driving, I thought that was the greatest thing in the world because I didn't have to walk and I didn't have to hitchhike anymore. Hallelujah. I thank God for every car I got. I don't care if it's the prettiest thing, the newest thing. I thank God that I got wheels. Amen. Amen. I thank God that I got a church. Amen. I got a meeting house to come to. And I don't have to stand out in the weather to worship God like some people do. I don't have to sweat in the sweltering heat like some people do. I don't have to freeze in the freezing cold like some people do. Praise God, from my heart, I don't mind thanking him for what he's given me. Amen. And just to speak to him and just to tell him how good he's been. He says, you'll find me when you search and seek for me with your whole heart. And when your heart's in it. And when your heart's into thanking him, when your heart's into seeking him and giving him the place that he needs in earnest, he says, then he'll be found. Our prayer is expedient when it's sincere. He says in Hosea 5:15, listen, he says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offenses and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Amen. In Psalm 8, I think it is, or Proverbs 8, he says, they will find me when they seek me early. Talking about wisdom, but wisdom is God, amen. Knowledge is God. But here, he says, when they find that they have sinned, when they realize and acknowledge their sin, and he says, they search for me and they seek me, he said, they will find me early. And praise God. You know what? We spend too much time dabbling and dealing with things that we shouldn't, but when we do, we have a remedy for taking care of it, but we don't use it. Sincere prayer is expedient prayer. We want God to deal with whatever situation is before us, especially sin. Amen. Amen. I got 100 times a day. Lord, forgive me for thinking that. Amen. Lord, forgive me for saying that. Amen. Lord, forgive me for doing that. Amen. 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 Sincere prayer is sought expediently. We don't waste time about it. We get to it. We deal with what needs to be dealt with. Sincere prayer is expectant prayer. In Amos chapter 5, verse 4, he says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek me and ye shall live." You know why I pray to God? Because I know that he can. Amen. Amen. I know that he does. And I know that if I ask it the right way and ask for the right things, I know that he will. Amen. Amen. I pray expectantly. I pray realizing and knowing that he's able to hear my prayer. He's able to answer my prayer. And he wants to do what is needful for me if I call upon him. Amen. Why would I call upon him if I didn't think he was going to do anything? Brother Joe asked me before service this morning, between Sunday school and church, while he's over here talking, and he asked me if I could do something for him. Well, you know what? Wouldn't have been no need for him to waste his voice asking me if I could do something for him. If he didn't think I could do it, would it? Been wasting your time, wouldn't you? Amen. And I'm glad to help him. Amen. I'm glad to help him. I ask people to help me because I know they can do things. I know they're going to do things. I ask people to do things here at the church because I know if I ask you to get it done, certain of you, it's going to get done. Amen. So I don't mind asking you. But praise God, if I didn't think he was going to do anything, and if I didn't think he could do anything, I wouldn't waste my time asking. But sincere prayer is expectant prayer. You're expecting God to do something. Sincere prayer is expedient prayer. You get right to what needs to be done. You deal with things in haste, and you take care of things instead of letting it go on and fester. You ever had to talk to someone and you just put it off and you put it off and you put it off? And the whole time you're dealing, knowing that you're going to have to deal with this, your stomach's just going crazy, you're ate up, you're worried. I don't know, you know, all these things go through your mind. And after it's done, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be. And you find a relief. That's why it's so important to do it so expediently. But then sincere prayer is an earnest prayer. It comes from our heart. When we pray and ask God to save us, it has to come from the heart. It's not a head. It's not words that just come from the head. It has to come from the heart. Salvation is not a matter of the head. Salvation is a matter of the heart. Amen? It has to come from the heart. When we ask God to forgive us of our sins when we sin, it has to come from the heart. Amen? When we ask God for the things that we need, it has to be a desire that comes from within the heart. And we need to ask for God's will to be done. We need to be earnest in our prayer. But not only do we need sincerity in our prayer. Jesus said we need simplicity. In verse number 6, he said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." In verse number 8, he says, "But be not thou therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Our prayer needs to be as simple as can be. It don't need to be where everybody can see it. Everybody don't have to need to know it. You can go through the day and people don't need to know you're praying. Matter of fact, you should strive to not let people know that you are praying. I do believe. Amen. He says we need to pray in secret. We need to keep it simple. We need not to look for pretense or a man's adoration and what we're doing when we're praying, but we need to pray from the heart, and we need to pray secretly. We read in the Bible where men got away, Isaac, he had to get away from Mamre and from the people there as he was round about. As they watched him and they looked at him and they seen how God was dealing, and the Bible says he went to Beersheba to pray and to worship God. The Bible tells us that Daniel, when they sent the decree up to pray, now Daniel didn't change what he was doing. And some people say, well, Daniel, he went and opened his windows and he did this. Daniel didn't do nothing but what he normally did. Amen. I don't believe Daniel was trying to antagonize anybody, but Daniel wasn't going to change what he was doing. He went to his house. Amen. He went into his prayer closet. And he prayed from his house. He prayed from his prayer closet. He didn't pray for anybody's benefit but his benefit, that he might call upon the name of the living God. And they heard him as he was praying. Well, that wasn't his intent. His intent was to pray earnestly from the heart. Amen? His intent was not to change the way that he talked to God and how he petitioned God. We see the Lord, the Bible tells us that he would slip out away while everybody was still sleeping and go find solitude in which to pray. I like to get up in the morning before Deb gets up or the kids are there, before any of the kids get up. I like to get up early in the morning and go find my place and pray. Amen. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that you don't have to bow down to be in prayer. The Bible doesn't say that you have to have your hands in the air to be in prayer. All the Bible tells us is that a heart needs to be in our prayer. Amen. Of course, you could be like one of the fellows I worked with one day. They sent two of them out on the road to work. They come back and said, "Don't send me with that idiot no more." So what'd he do this time? Oh, he had one of them religious stations on the radio and was going down the road, and the man said, "Let's pray." And he bowed his head and closed his eyes. And he was driving. Honest to God. Honest to God. Our attitude in prayer just has to be from the heart. We don't have to be in the church. We don't have to be in the closet. Brother Charles was sharing about this yesterday. Fela actually literally goes and crawls into her closet to pray. And he says, I told her, I said, "Fela, that's just figurative. You don't have to get in the closet." She says, "I am." So they got to push the clothes aside and everything for her to fit in the closet so she can pray. You know, she takes it that seriously. I think it's the sweetest thing in the world. Amen. But what he wants us to understand is prayer just needs to be a simple thing. It can be done and should be done privately between you and the Lord. He said, let it be done in secret. Go to your prayer closet. Go to your prayer closet and seek the Lord's face. Be like the examples of men who got away from everybody else. You know, the most effective time you have a prayer is when you're away from everybody else. When you're away from everything else, if you can be. But we can't always be. But we can always be in prayer. Amen. And we don't always have to make pretense over it. Our prayer needs to be simple and direct. He says, "For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Well, why do I have to pray? Why do I have to ask him? Because he wants you to realize that you need him. He doesn't need you. Amen. Amen. That you need him. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Prayer needs to be in such a way that we realize that our whole need is upon the Lord to meet the needs that we have in our life. Our greatest need is salvation, something we can't do for ourselves. Our greatest physical need is air and food and water, something that we can't provide for ourselves. He provides it all. Amen. But our prayer needs to be direct, and we don't always know exactly how to pray and what all we need to pray, but I'm thankful, as Sister Mary pointed out the other night, I think it was, that we have a help and an assistance when we pray, that the Spirit of God makes groanings for us that we can't even utter. Just be direct in what you're praying about. Don't beat around the bush about it. You ever had a kid, you know, they're wanting something, and they come, and they, well, you know, you know, little Janie down the street, you know her mama bought her a new bicycle, and you know it's really pretty, you know, and the whole time she's wanting a new bicycle, But you got to listen to 45 minutes of "Do you know?" Amen. God already knows. Amen. He already knows what you have need of. He already knows what's in your heart. He already knows what your desire is. He already knows what is going to happen. But he wants you to know that you can come to him and you can ask him anything. You can pour your heart out before him. He already knows it anyway, but he wants you to know that you need to depend on him and be direct in what you're dealing with. Your father already made all the words and all the prayer, the longest prayers you can make aren't going to change that fact. The simple prayer is the pattern of prayer that Jesus gave us. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Let's lift God up and acknowledge him. You are God, and you're holy. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, and I pray this all the time. I pray this in everything. Lord, your will. Your will. I pray for the service. I want the Lord's will to be accomplished. Amen. I pray for an individual. I pray for your surgery. I pray for your cancer. I pray for whatever your need is. I pray for what God's will is. When I prayed for my granddaughter when she was laying down there and they didn't know whether she was going to live or die and they was taking her to surgery, the moment they took her out the door to surgery, we stopped and we prayed. And our prayer was, Lord, your will be done. And guess what? His will was done. And the doctors had to come and say, she didn't make it. But you know what? I'm so glad God's will was done. Amen. I'm so glad that God fulfilled what he knew needed to be done. What he knew was best. What he knew should be accomplished. But I need to trust him. The pattern of prayer tells us to instructs us to trust him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It reminds us that the provision that we need for the body and the provision that we need for the soul has to come from him. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Simple as it may seem, we need God to show us where he wants us. We need God to lead us where he needs us. We need God to put us where he wants us to be. Sincerity, simplicity, and surety. In Matthew 21:22, he says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You say, well, Pastor, I have prayed for this and I never got it. Where was your heart? Was it after the pattern of prayer? Thy will be done. Because 1 John 5 says, and you know that we have whatsoever we ask if we ask it according to his will. Are you following the pattern of prayer? People say, well, preacher, I prayed for this and God didn't give it to me. And over here, this verse says that, hey, he's going to give me whatever I pray for. Yeah, but he also told us we need to pray after this manner. We need to pray after this pattern. And we need to pray that God's will be done. Amen. Amen. We need to pray for his glory. And ask that whatever is done, that whatever we're asking for, is done to his glory. Amen. Verses 9 and 13. We're to give glory and honor the Lord, lift him up. We ask whatever we want, and believing we shall receive it. But is this what God wants us to have? Are we asking for his leadership and his guidance? Verse number 13. We need to pray in faith, believing that according to his will and for his glory, he hears and answers our prayer. When we pray according to God's word, when we pray according to God's purposes, and when we pray expecting God to do something. The Bible says that if we're going to come to the Lord, we've got to come by faith. We've got to come by faith believing that he is, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want nothing more in your life than for God's will to be done. Amen. It's not God's will that any should perish, but it's his will that we should all have life and have it more abundantly. It's not God's will that we should all live depressed lives, but that we should have peace and joy in our lives. That's his desire. The reality is, the prince and the power of the air brings problems into our lives. He's brought the curse of sin. The Bible says, for all sin and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Without Jesus, you're going to split hell wide open. But it's not God's will that any should perish. So God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. We don't have to go to hell. Hallelujah, we don't have to split hell wide open, because it's not God's will for you to be there. We face trials and tribulations and troubles in this world, but it's not God's will that we have to dwell in them and live in them. Jesus said, I've told you these things that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. One of my favorite Bible verses in the whole Bible. Because Jesus told us the reality of our walk here below. He never said it was going to be sunshine and roses. He said it was going to be tribulation. He said, but praise God, in the midst of the tribulation, we can go to him because he's overcome it all. When we pray, we need to be sincere. We need to be simple. We need to be sure of the one who we're praying to. And we need to know that he knows our needs and will answer our needs according to his will. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation. So we stand this morning.